A trailer was destroyed by a fire in Virginia on Wednesday. Virginia Fire Chief Donnie Reynolds says it happened at South Cass and Adams at around 3 p.m. The man living at the home, Kenny Jenkins, was not home at the time. Crews arrived to find the trailer engulfed in flames. Reynolds says the fire may have been caused by an electrical issue, but that's speculation. The trailer was a total loss. Virginia fire crews were on the scene for about an hour.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle. Water is usually a good thing in the summer. A pool, a sprinkler, even a garden hose can take the edge off the summer heat. But extra water in the house isn't a good thing. That pesky leak could lead to bigger problems. Call Doyle Plumbing and Heating, and they can help you with all of your plumbing needs. That's Doyle Plumbing and Heating, the oldest and most trusted name for plumbing work in the Jacksonville area.
The 17-year-old Jacksonville girl accused of leaving her newborn child in a garbage dumpster last month was back in court this morning. Jim McCabe has more.
The girl was charged with attempted first-degree murder, a felony, in Morgan County Juvenile Court last Monday after the baby boy was found in a dumpster in the 300 block of West Lafayette on August 30th. She denied the charges this morning, which is the juvenile version of pleading not guilty. Morgan County Assistant State's Attorney Chad Turner filed a motion last week to designate the case as extended jurisdiction juvenile prosecution. If the girl is found guilty in that scenario, she'd be given a juvenile court sentence and an adult sentence simultaneously. That means the adult sentence would be stayed while the juvie sentence is performed, and if the girl were to successfully complete it, the adult sentence would be vacated. If the girl were sentenced as a juvenile and failed to satisfy the terms, she could face up to 30 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections.
It's a fairly rare circumstance that a motion of that nature would be filed, but when a minor is accused of certain crimes and that minor is over the age of 13 and the crimes are of a felony nature, we can ask that the prosecution be designated extended jurisdiction juvenile proceeding. It's kind of an intermediate step between juvenile court and adult court.
Turner says the facts of the case at this point don't meet the criteria by law to justify trying the girl as an adult, and that the judge in the case would have to approve the transfer in the interest of public protection.
Obviously, at one point in time, we were alleging that she was a significant threat to this newborn baby, but we don't have any evidence that she's any threat to anyone going forward. Juvenile court and adult court have very different purposes. In juvenile court, the emphasis is on protecting the minor and doing what's in the minor's best interest and rehabilitation. In adult court, other factors come into play, such as punishment and things of that nature, and really those are not considered in juvenile court. If we thought that was necessary to protect the public from this young woman, we would move to transfer to adult court.
Turner explains that if the girl is found guilty or pleads guilty, she'd be given a juvenile sentence that could include serving time in the Department of Juvenile Justice up to the age of 21, 30 days in a juvie detention facility, no more than 5 years up probation or conditional discharge, and 30 days of community service.
It's a little different in juvenile corrections. Basically, the Department of Juvenile Corrections is given the authority to release a minor at any time when they think they're ready, basically, to be released back into the community. But in no case can it extend past their 21st birthday.
Does this mean police investigation is complete and that there's not going to be any chance for her to just be completely charged as an adult?
No, the police investigation is not complete. There are certain things that they are doing.
The girl, whose name is not being made available publicly because she is not being tried as an adult, is in home confinement with her mother, who was present in court this morning as well. The juvenile was allowed earlier this month to continue working her part-time job and go to school at Jacksonville High School. A hearing for a request to make a motion to designate the case for extended juvenile jurisdiction is set for October 9th. Turner explains the girl can request a jury trial if the motion is granted. The girl is now being represented by public defender Ann Clough. She had different representation earlier this month. For WLDS WEAI News, I'm Jim McCabe.
The Central Illinois Food Bank is teaming up with Walmart and Feeding America through an online voting campaign to fight hunger. Central Illinois Food Bank Public Relations Manager Krista Leiser says sat down with Gary Scott this morning on WLDS's AM Conversation to talk about the competition.
It's called Fight Hunger, Spark Change. And the top 50 food banks in online voting, it was September 15th it started, it goes through October 5th, received $60,000. So we are in the running to receive $60,000 from Walmart. All you have to do is go to walmart.com/fighthunger, vote for Central Illinois Food Bank, and we could get $60,000 to help feed people here in Central Illinois.
Lisser says getting this grant money would have a major impact on the local food bank. In fact, they already have a plan of what to do with the money.
What we want to do with the money should we land in the top 50 is buy fresh fruits and vegetables during the winter months. That is the time that we don't have those crops being donated here in Central Illinois, or we can't buy them from local growers. We have to go out to some of those other growers in the warmer states and purchase that fresh fruit and produce for people. And it's important to us to be able to provide that for people. And it's an expensive cost. So if we could win this $60,000, it would really go a long way to helping not only feed people, but feed people nutritious food.
The Central Illinois Food Bank is one of just two food banks in Illinois participating in the competition. Lisser notes that even with the start of school, things haven't gotten easier.
We've actually added another kids' cafe here in Springfield because the need is great. Even with school in session, you know, we find that people are still struggling to put food on the table.
If the Central Illinois Food Bank finishes in the top 50 votes, $45,000 of the money goes to the local food bank, and three local partners of the food bank will receive $5,000 apiece. Those agencies include Quincy Catholic Charities, St. Martin de Porres in Springfield, and Southeast Community Fund in Decatur. The Central Illinois Food Bank is currently ranked 14th in the online standings. MCS Community Services has begun their 2015 Energy Assistance Program. Supported by Morgan, Cass, and Scott counties, applications for anyone above 60 years old or living with a disabled household member will be given priority this month. Beginning on October 1st, households with a child under the age of 6 will be given priority to apply. Households not qualifying under the Elderly Disabled or Young Child Guideline may apply for assistance beginning in November. Anyone interested in applying should call MCS Community Services at 243-9404. Recall for legislators, term limits, and redistricting reform are all parts of the Bruce Rauner proposal to change ethics in Illinois government. John Gregory has the report.
Rauner's plan will require several new laws and a few amendments to the state's constitution. It's been promised before, and he says he understands why voters may be skeptical that he'll be able to get it done.
Rob Blagojevich pledged reform, and now he lives in federal prison. Pat Quinn pledged reform, and now there's two federal investigations. To insiders like Rod Blagojevich and Pat Quinn, reform is just wrapping paper to cover up corruption.
Rauner's reformer credentials aren't highly regarded by Quinn, who responded to the ethics plan by saying he's championed several meaningful ethics laws in his career, such as ending advance pay for politicians. In Chicago, I'm John Gregory.
A Sangamon County judge has rejected the Republican Party's attempt to have a Libertarian candidate for Illinois governor struck from the November 4th ballot. The Associated Press reports Judge Patrick Kelly denied GOP attorney's appeal of a State Board of Elections decision to allow Chad Grimm of Peoria on the ballot. His name will appear alongside those of Democratic Governor Pat Quinn and Republican challenger Bruce Rauner. The GOP attorneys had challenged the validity of the voter signatures gathered by several Libertarian petition circulators. Grimm, a fiscal conservative who advocates minimalist government, could draw votes that would otherwise go to Rauner in what's expected to be a very close race.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
Some people prefer traditional funeral services, others prefer cremation. Some want an elaborate ceremony, others don't want one at all. Dawes Family Funeral Home offers all types of services because we know there are all types of people. At Dawes, we try to meet the needs of everyone, so stop by or give us a call today.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
We now have the following death and funeral announcements to bring to your attention this afternoon. Eleanor M. Woods, age 93 of Jacksonville, passed away Wednesday at her residence. Eleanor M. Woods. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday at Jacksonville East Cemetery. Ronald D. Ron Spangenberg, age 77, of Jacksonville, died Tuesday at St. John's Hospice in Springfield. Ronald D. Ron Spangenberg. A funeral mass will be celebrated at 11 a.m. Saturday at the Church of Our Savior in Jacksonville, with burial and fire department honors at Calvary Cemetery in Jacksonville. The family will meet friends from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at the Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville, following a prayer service at 3:45 p.m. Howard Gocher, age 79, of Waverly, died Tuesday at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Howard Gocher. Masonic services will be held at 7 p.m. Friday at Niece Ersman Hires Funeral Home in Waverly. Burial will be at 10 a.m. Saturday at the Waverly East Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Kyle J. McAllister, age 54, of Jacksonville, died Saturday, May 31st, at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Kyle J. McAllister. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday at Oakland Cemetery in Meridosha. Mary Regina Brewington will have upcoming services at 10 a.m. Friday at the Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville. Mary Regina Brewington. Burial will be held at Arcadia Cemetery in Arcadia. The family will meet friends today from 5 to 7 p.m. at the funeral home. It is currently 77 degrees, partly cloudy in Jacksonville, and humidity is at 42%. A full look at the forecast is coming up next. Local news this hour made possible by Doyle Plumbing and Heating. And we have a very special day today. It is somebody's birthday, and happy birthday to Gary Ballard.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.